Okay, so I have a question for you. And you won't need to cheat off your neighbor's homework or phone a friend to get the right answer to this question. It simply is, who was the most important person to have ever lived in the history of this planet? Scholars all, those of you who said Jesus A plus, go to the front of the class. How important was Jesus Christ? Well, this is how important he is. The one who has the Son, that is Jesus, has life. And the one that does not have Jesus does not have life. If you have Jesus, you're going to live. If you don't have Jesus, you're not going to live. It's a matter of spiritual life and death. Everything hinges on Jesus Christ. Now, we've been talking about Christ in this series that I've been calling Rediscovering Jesus. Rediscovering Jesus. And what I'm trying to do is to get us to take another look at Jesus. Most of us have grown up all of our lives hearing about him. And we've had certain mental images of who Jesus is, what he looks like, and how he acts and everything about him. But what I'm trying to get us to do is just to rediscover Jesus again and take a fresh perspective on him. It may involve stripping away some preconceived ideas, and we all have those preconceived ideas. But I believe when we look at Jesus and strip away everything else that might not be accurate about him, and we all have some distorted views of the way Jesus really was. If we could look at him with fresh eyes, then it's a really, really good experience. Because if the only information that you and I had about Jesus Christ was from the eyewitness accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if that was the only information we had, and we started anew, if we cleared our mind of every idea of who Jesus was, and we just formulated a fresh picture of him, just from the Gospels, the eyewitness accounts, chances are that we would see some different perspectives than what we have grown up with. So I think it's important for us to keep a really open mind and to take a fresh look at Jesus. Some of our preconceived ideas may be challenged and altered a bit, but we want to see Jesus and see him anew. So having said that, I now acknowledge the Holy Spirit's role in what's going to happen here today. Loving Father, teach us about the Son of God, the most important person who ever walked this earth. May we see him and see him more clearly. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the real challenges of Christianity here in the United States of America, as it goes to the spread of Christianity and people accepting the gospel message, is the percentage gender breakdown of those who are accepting Jesus. The statistics are this: 61% of those who attend church are female, and only 39% of those who attend church are male. The sobering reality of the fact is that men are not embracing Jesus Christ as readily as women are. Now, generally speaking, men like cars. And generally speaking, men like sports. Especially football, huh, Roger? And generally speaking, men like hunting and fishing. And generally speaking, men love to be outdoors and outdoor activity. But Jesus, not so very much, as the graph so graphically portrays. Could it be, ladies and gentlemen, that the Jesus Christ that is being promoted today as we talk about him and describe him is different than the real Jesus of Scripture? And could it be the way that we present Jesus today, sometimes the way he is promoted does a better job of attracting females to him than us males? Now, that's not the way it was in Bible times. What a different story Scripture tells. In the Old Testament, it was the tribe of Levi that were the priests. It was the guys, the males, the men who formed the priesthood there. And there are challenging scriptures in the Old Testament that ask Old Testament dads to be the high priest, the spiritual leader of their family unit. When Jesus called his disciples, he called men. He called men. And over and over and over again, we can see Jesus drawing men to faith in God. So why not so much today in our modern times? Christ made a promise in John 12:32. I love this verse of Scripture where he says, "If I be lifted up," and I know I'm leaving out a bit of it intentionally though, "if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me." Now, I realize that verse is not talking about males exclusively. I'm not trying to be sexist at all. The literal translation in the Greek is, "I will draw all to me." And what Jesus is talking about here is all mankind. Well, I guess if I'm going to be politically correct, all humankind. But we guys, we men, are part of humankind. Some of you ladies might disagree with that, but I maintain that we still are part of humankind. If I be lifted up, if Jesus is presented and who he really is, he promises to draw all humankind and for sure all us men to himself. Now today what I want to do is look at an aspect of Jesus that I personally believe is contributing to the fact that not as many men are accepting Jesus as women are. I find that what we are talking about today is often missing from Christ's resume. When Jesus is described, what I'm going to talk about today is often missing from a description. For what I want to talk today about is the strength of Jesus Christ. His physical strength. Now, it may seem to some of you almost irreverent to suggest that Jesus was physically strong. I mean, after all, isn't he the gentle shepherd, the gentle savior? Isn't he the meek and mild one? Isn't he the Lamb of God? And true, each one of those descriptions of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is an appropriate biblical description. But this soft side of Jesus Christ is not him in total. The soft side has been overemphasized, in my opinion, by us who declare us to be followers of Jesus and bear his name. And if you look at some of the early paintings where artists are describing what they see as Jesus looking at, we can see this soft size overemphasized. And we can see frail people, a frail Jesus, under-muscled, if you please, appearing somewhat effeminate. But when we look at the gospel records, we again see something different. Here are some paintings of Jesus that the artist tried to portray what he or she felt Jesus looked like. And in many of the pictures, again, we see a frail and even wimpy Jesus. In some of the pictures, it appears like the artist has painted a woman's face with a beard on it. Now let's consider, as we look at what Jesus really was like, let's consider Christ's life during his first 30 years of life. When did Jesus die? How old was Christ when he was crucified? 33. Okay. So we know about the last 3 years of Jesus' life. We know that he had a public ministry, and we can read in fairly detail about his ministry in the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But what about the 30 years that preceded that? Let's start with the way that Christ's life began. In Luke 2, 6, and 7, this is the Christmas story we celebrated every December, and we read about how Jesus was born in a stable in a manger. He was born in very rough conditions. He had a rough start in life. He was born in a stable amid a place where animals were kept. And some of the people that came to see Jesus, at least some of the first ones, were very rough men. They were shepherds, very rough men. It was a rough, rough beginning. While Jesus was still an infant, the Bible tells us in Matthew 2, 13 to 18, that in an attempt to escape Herod's decree to kill boy babies, that the family of Jesus hurried him away to Egypt. And they made this long, long trip to Egypt to take him where Jesus could be safe. We're not told how long that his family was in Egypt with him, but it was a period of time, and when he came back, he was probably old enough to walk. And so I kind of think that day after day as they traveled back from Egypt, mile after mile, Jesus exercised those legs, his boyhood legs, and got stronger and stronger. It was tradition in Christ's time where young men about the age of 15 would often begin to work in their father's trade. And we know that Joseph was a carpenter. And so very likely, the Bible doesn't say a lot about it, but putting two and two together, I think we can deduce that as Jesus was the eldest son of Joseph, that about age 15, Jesus would have begun to work in the carpenter trade. Now, I wish we had more information about those times that Jesus worked as a carpenter. For if he became involved in the work of carpentry at age 15, and he started his ministry at age 30, we have a span of 15 years that Jesus was involved working as a carpenter. Which, if you think about it, the public ministry of Jesus took 3 years. He was a carpenter for 15 years. He spent five times as much time working in the carpentry trade as he did in the ministry trade, if you please. Five times as much being a carpenter as a minister. And again, I wish we had more information about those 15 years. There is a verse of scripture in Luke 2:40 that tells us a little bit about the growing up of Jesus and some ways that I think the King James uses the word increased. One version says, "And the child grew and became strong in spirit." This is King James and New King James. "And the child grew and became strong in spirit." Interestingly enough, the words "in spirit" were added. In other words, if you look at the most reliable manuscripts on this particular verse, you will not find the words "in spirit." Now, I will readily recognize that Jesus grew in spirit as a young man. But I don't think that Luke 2:40 is emphasizing that. And when you look at some of the later versions that have access to more accurate manuscripts, you have translations like this: "And the child grew and became strong." That's New International Version. Here's New Living Translation: "The child grew up healthy and strong." And here is the Clear Word paraphrase. I think he nails it. The baby grew up, becoming physically and spiritually stronger. So I'd like to suggest that as Jesus grew up, he became a physically strong young man. Now, there are some reasons, some really good reasons, that Jesus became strong. First of all, I want to talk about the practice, the trade of being a carpenter. Being a carpenter back then is way different than being a carpenter today. To be a carpenter in the time of Christ was an incredibly physically demanding pursuit. If you were a first century carpenter, it would have made you the person that you were physically. Jesus would have been strappingly strong. He would have had wide shoulders, muscular arms, rough, calloused hands that had a vice grip capability. You would have seen a sun-darkened face, neck, and arms on Jesus. For you see, when you work out on a construction site, that is what will happen to you. And don't get the idea as a carpenter that Jesus was just in this nice air-conditioned room, his dad's shop. For back then, the carpenters built houses. And if you were a carpenter in Christ's time and you built a house, you were responsible for a lot. There was no getting building materials at Home Depot. There were no forklifts. There were no power tools. Carpenters in the time of Christ, if they won the contract to build a house, it was also their responsibility to dig the foundation. And so they would work back-breaking, muscle-numbing work trying to hack through the rocky, rough ground of Palestine. The carpenter would also, if he won the bid, he would assume the responsibility of producing the lumber that was necessary to build his house. He had the whole house. Not only would he dig the foundation, but he needed to manufacture the timber. And so, a carpenter in Christ's time would go into a forest and be there all day, and when he came out, he would have a timber or two. One of the tools that was used back then is called an adze, A-D-Z-E. And here is a picture of a very crude adze. And they would use this and an axe-like tool in order to make the timber to be used in the building of homes. Can you imagine just what an a back-breaking event it would be to use this to fashion a timber, just one timber out of a tree. It would be incredibly hard work. And Jesus did this kind of thing 6 days a week, taking a Sabbath off like we are, and he did this week after week after week for 15 years. 15 years. There was no doubt in my mind that Jesus was physically strong. Jesus was a man's man. Furthermore, Jesus did not have an air-conditioned SUV to make it around wherever he was going. We read this very interesting verse of Scripture that is obvious, but think about it. He says he went through every city and village preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. He went through every city and village. Jesus and his disciples racked up the miles on foot. If they had been wearing, you know what a pedometer is? You can actually get a little device and stick it on your belt and walk around, and at the end of the day you can look at it and it tells you how many steps or how many miles that you had walked. And I think if Christ and his disciples would have been wearing pedometers, that the mileage totals would have been unbelievable. It was nothing for the disciples with Jesus to routinely walk 10 miles to the next village, 15 miles, 20 miles or more. And they did that day after day, walking over rocky and rough terrain in the extreme heat of Middle Eastern countries. It would have been difficult to do, and no one could have done that unless they were very, very fit and strong. Another example of Christ's strength is that the Bible says on the way to his crucifixion that Jesus was forced to take his own cross. Now, we know that he was beaten severely before that, and we know he was so weakened that he actually wasn't able to continue the entire journey carrying his cross. I keep myself pretty fit, but I'm thinking, there's no way I could carry 100-pound or more wooden cross after being beaten so badly that I almost died. Jesus must have been incredibly strong to even start the journey carrying his cross. Make no mistake about it. Jesus of Nazareth had great physical strength. Great physical strength. He was no girly man. He was a man's man. Now, Jesus was not only strong physically. He was strong in every way. He was strong mentally. To be so focused on his mission and not get sidetracked, tremendous concentration. For him to be able to quote Scripture like he did, you know he had spent time in the Word and had studied very, very hard. He was strong mentally. He was strong emotionally. My goodness, he put up with so much from his own people. But he, again, did not detour from his mission. He was strong emotionally. He was certainly, absolutely, absolutely, absolutely strong spiritually. And he was strong morally. I maintain that Jesus Christ was the strongest person who ever walked the face of this planet. No wonder Hebrews 7 says about Jesus, set apart from sinners. Here is us, and there is Jesus way above us. Because in every area in life, he was superior to us. And one of the areas that he was really special in was his physical strength. And because of his physical strength, men followed him. When he asked some fishermen who were strong themselves to come and follow him, there was something about his strength, about his tone of voice, that they left everything and followed them, him. Women were also drawn to his strength. Not only his physical strength, but his mental strength, his spiritual strength, his moral strength, and his emotional strength. When we look at what took place in the stories of Jesus in the New Testament, the Gospels, we see a lot of emphasis about people's lives that were totally changed coming into contact with Jesus Christ. He was the most important person who ever lived on this earth. And the people's lives were changed not because of information about Jesus. People's lives were changed because they personally met Jesus, and when they saw him for who he really was, the Son of God, their lives were completely changed. Now, I would like to think that all of us here have personally met Jesus. I know all of us know something about him. But have we personally met the man himself? The Gospels present a real person who lived and walked here on this earth, who had some amazing abilities, and who went through a very tough life, a rough life, but he still became our Savior. We need to not know just about Jesus, but we need to know him personally. Jesus wants to be known by each of us. That is such great timing, Flea, because I asked Flea if she would come to the piano, and this song, Open Our Eyes, has kind of become the theme song of our series here. And so as a prayer of commitment, I would like us to sing this song. Think about it. Open our eyes. We want to see Jesus, who he really is. We want not only just to see him, but to have him in our life. Let's sing this. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him and say that we love him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to Loving Heavenly Father, something that I'm looking forward to as much as anything when I get to heaven is to see Jesus face to face. To see the face of my Savior. To see the one who gave everything so that I could have the hope of eternal life. That is what's going to be heaven for me. Lord, we want the Son. John told us, if we have the Son, we have life. And Lord, when we think about Jesus, we want to see a person, not just a concept or not just information. We want to see the Son of God, our divine substitute, our personal Savior. Lord, thank you for Christ's physical strength. Some of us who have blue-collar, hard-working construction jobs, we just say, ah, yeah, my Jesus was a hard worker, and he knew what hard work was. We do not have a Savior who stayed up in heaven in the crystal palaces of paradise, but he left that to live down here and to work hard every day as one of us. That just endears him to me. Thank you for being a Savior that identified with us that dramatically. And Lord, my prayer is that each of us open our eyes and see Jesus as not a Savior, but my Savior. Thank you for Jesus, the most important person who ever walked this planet. We love you, Jesus. You mean everything to us, and we ask this prayer in your holy name. And everyone said, amen.